Greetings to all our listeners from the Gunawage Mohawk Territory on the south shore of Montreal and from the Quebec Native Women's Organization. My name is Sherry Osnaawi Jacobs and I am your host. I am the Digital Information Coordinator on Family Violence in an Indigenous Context at the Quebec Native Women's Organization situated in Gunawage, Quebec. This podcast is the 10th in a series of bilingual podcasts on family violence, and I use the term family violence as domestic violence, intimate partner violence, or conjugal violence affects the whole family and not just the victim and the aggressor. The goal is to help spread awareness about the concept of family violence that includes elders, children, and aggressors, as well as to highlight organizations and resources that help victims, family members, and concerned community members. The website sosviolenceconjugal.ca, all one word, is an excellent resource for learning about and coping with family violence. And the website is available in 28 languages, and they have a hotline that is in operation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as well as a chat feature. SOS Violence Conjugal has been in service for 35 years, and they are the gateway to any service needed, such as Indigenous women's shelters. Their number is 1-800-363-9010. On our Quebec Native Women's website, you will find the nonviolence folder under the Files tab, where there is a drop-down menu and the nonviolence folder is the second option. There we have a toolbox with several materials that are designed to equip workers who work with Indigenous women, girls, two-spirited people, and families in abusive situations. You will find resource directories, awareness tools, campaigns, and educational materials for social workers and Indigenous women shelters alike. In this episode, I will be discussing the Technological Self-Defense Guide for Victims of Intimate Partner Violence to help listeners be aware of the tools, forms, and signs to look for when they think or believe that they or someone they know is being targeted through the use of technology. With permission from sosviolenceconjugal.ca, my source of information is articles found on their website. This article was written with the support of Lab 2038 and the Centre de Documentation sur l'Éducation des Adultes et de la Condition Féminine, CDEACF, two nonprofit organizations involved in research and intervention at the intersection of digital safety and intimate partner violence. Before we begin, if you or someone you know is a residential school survivor, you can access Emotional and Crisis Referral Service at 1-866-925-4419. There is also the Hope for Wellness line at 1-855-242-3310. So let's begin. Technological Self-Defense Guide for Victims of Intimate Partner Violence. Technological tools have always been used by aggressors to gain power over their partners. What characterizes the current period is that these tools are increasingly numerous, effective, accessible, and affordable. Whether via cell phones, apps, social networks, home automation, or anything else, the opportunities for abusers are numerous, and it can be complex to spot technological violence in one's life and know how to protect oneself from it. In this day and age, the question is no longer, is the person experiencing technological violence? But rather, what forms of technological violence are they experiencing? Lab 2038. Intimate partner violence, a unique context. In contexts other than IPV, espionage, for example, technological surveillance activities are carried out stealthily, secretly, so that the target is unaware that they are being monitored. In the case of intimate partner violence, IPV, although surveillance may indeed be stealthy, it can also be carried out explicitly, as the abuser feels that they have a right to control their partner and therefore may not necessarily hide the fact that they are monitoring the victim. This is the case, for example, of an abuser who alludes to the information at their disposal to gain power over a partner. Three goals: surveillance, manipulation, and harassment. Technological abuse generally serves three functions. The first is surveillance. Tools are then used to monitor online and offline activities to extract information about the victim's whereabouts, actions, or communications. The second function is manipulation. In this case, the tools are used to convey messages designed to influence, convince, or coax the victim into changing their mind or to create confusion. The third function is harassment and intimidation. In this case, the tools are used to make intrusive contact with the victim, to force them to continue communications, to intimidate them, or to put pressure on them. The challenge with the diversification of connected technologies in this context is that it becomes more difficult to cut off contact, even after physically distancing oneself from an abuser. CDEACF. Physical access to devices. Technological abuse in the context of IPV is facilitated by the fact that violent partners often have access to the victim's devices before the breakup and to those of the children before and after the breakup. Through this direct contact with computers, tablets, smartphones, and electronic games, they have a golden opportunity to use these tools. They can consult internet browsing history, emails, text messages, social network exchanges, and more. They can also modify the security or privacy settings of the devices or install malicious software or applications, spyware, that will enable them to continue their intrusion even if they no longer have access to the devices afterwards. They may also attempt to harm the victim by deleting important documents related to work, evidence gathering, or personal life. Monitoring devices. More and more, abusers are using physical devices such as cameras, microphones, locatable devices like AirTags or Tiles, or even certain models of AirPods to track someone's movements. These tools can be camouflaged in fake USB wires or slipped into a child's bag, a satchel, a diaper bag, or even camouflaged in a home or in a car. Unauthorized access to accounts. Abusers can use the privileged information they have access to, such as passwords or details of the victim's intimate life, to gain access to the victim's personal accounts, online accounts, applications, social networks, emails, etc., and keep tabs on them. They can monitor a victim's movements, emails, social network messages, contacts, incoming and outgoing calls, connected devices, purchases, and so on. They can also send messages or make posts on social networks posing as the victim to harm them or undermine their credibility. All types of accounts can provide useful information for perpetrators of violence. Access to a bank account allows them to monitor a victim's purchases and money inflows. Access to a Uber account allows them to see where the victim travels and where they get food delivered. Access to an email account lets them know who the victim talks to and what they are planning. Access to an Amazon account gives them access to the victim's new address, and so on. Signs of technological abuse. Social media posts are made in the victim's name without their knowledge. Presence of unknown devices connected to online accounts. New messages are marked as read. Files or applications appear or disappear from devices. The partner has information that is not available elsewhere. The partner seems to know things that have not been mentioned to them, where one has been, who one has seen, who one has talked to, what was bought, the content of private messages, who one is meeting up with, etc. Having the sensation of being physically followed offline in real time. Device batteries drain faster than usual. Applications use an unreasonable amount of data or memory. A device's camera icon appears when the camera is not in use. Technological self-defense tips during the relationship. When in a relationship with someone who uses IPV, short-term safety must be the number one priority. Any action that might signal to a violent partner that a victim suspects that a device is being monitored, changing passwords, disabling geolocation functions, or removing a monitoring application or device, for example, must therefore be avoided. Always act as if your partner actually has access to your devices and accounts. Avoid using devices to which the partner has access for information retrieval, documentation, or any action relating to the violent situation. Use anonymous or private mode on a browser that is not connected to any account, Google or other. Visually inspect electronic devices and make sure that every wire or device, USB or other, is original or self-purchased. Check for unknown devices connected to your online accounts. Avoid bringing home any device, cell phone, or computer provided by a place of work in order to preserve its integrity and to be able to continue using it for empowerment purposes. Create a secret email account on a device to which the abuser does not have access and use only this email for any communication related to the violent situation, with resources, loved ones, etc. Obtain the necessary materials to create a barrier that renders certain locatable objects harmless and can be used when needed. A large roll of aluminum foil and a container, like a Tupperware, with a rubber seal on the lid. You can also buy a pouch identified as a Faraday bag found on social media. Meet with interveners in neutral locations rather than in IPV resources, at the CLSC, for example, and prepare realistic pretexts for being in this location. Technological self-defense tips when leaving a violent partner. To be on the safe side, we suggest these steps to be followed after leaving the home, but before arriving at a safe place or shelter, to keep the location confidential, ideally in a police station parking lot or in a public place to get help in case of danger. If part of a family sharing plan on mobile devices, delete the partner's account, if one is responsible for the account, or remove your account and those of your children from the family sharing plan, if one is not responsible for the account. If it's impossible to do this on a device, as is often the case if it belongs to a child, remove its battery or discharge it completely and avoid using it until the issue has been resolved. Disable the tracking functions on each device that can be tracked: cell phones, smartwatches, computers, tablets, iPods, electronic games, connected toys, etc. If necessary, remove the battery from the devices or discharge them completely to temporarily neutralize these functions. Visually inspect the car and belongings for GPS devices or other locatable items such as AirTag, Tile, AirPods, or other devices. Use an application that detects Apple-tracked devices or Tile chips to receive an alert if a device that doesn't belong to you moves with you. If a GPS, AirTag, Tile, or other device is located, remove its battery to deactivate it or wrap the item in aluminum foil, 3 layers, and put it in a plastic container with a sealant on the lid to neutralize it. Technological self-defense tips after reaching safety. Before modifying anything, it's important to document any evidence of devices being compromised. Keep screenshots, photos, locatable items, have a witness, etc., as this could be a criminal offense that you may want to prove in court. Before you start, install antivirus software and scan for viruses, spyware, and malware to eliminate them from your devices and those of your children. Remove applications or programs that allow shared access to a device, such as TeamViewer and AnyDesk. Restore default device settings after backing up your data. Make sure you know the function of every application or program that remains on your device and eliminate any unknown applications or suspicious files. Select the two-factor identification mode for all accounts you wish to keep: social networks, bank or credit card accounts, work-related accounts, certain email accounts, etc. Find out if unknown devices or those belonging to your partner are connected to your accounts so that you can eject them. You can search for connection activity with the account name on the web to find out how. Change passwords. Use a password manager or device such as YubiKey to increase online account security. Close any accounts that you don't use on a regular basis. Apps, online accounts like Uber, Amazon, etc., and reopen new ones as needed. If you think that certain devices or services are still compromised, you can have them checked by your employer's IT department in an electronic store or with the provider of a service, an example, cellular service. If necessary, to gather evidence and eliminate all risks, you can have your devices professionally appraised. This can be a fairly costly process, but it can make it easier to lodge a criminal complaint for unauthorized use of a computer or harassment, for example. This article was written with the support of Lab 2038 and the Centre de Documentation sur l'Éducation des Adultes et de la Condition Féminine, CDEACF, two nonprofit organizations involved in research and intervention at the intersection of digital safety and intimate partner violence. And that concludes our episode for today. Thank you for joining me.